Today on the Critical Mass Podcast, Blu-ray and high-definition television. Stick around.
Primary Reaction Chamber.
Critical parameters on or
time.
Initial reaction at T-minus 30.
Fuel slug in place.
Stand by for injection.
Capsule breach now.
Reaction commencing.
Containment field hold to 3.14 degrees of time. Initial dampers crossing to capacity.
Can we hold it?
What's happening?
Critical mass.
Hold on!
Mind spike!
I'm Winston Crutchfield, your host for the Critical Mass Podcast here at CriticalPressMedia.com. With the Christmas season just over and tax season right upon us, I'm going to take a little bit of time out and talk about an expensive purchase that you may have made over the holidays or may be planning to make with your tax refund money. Yeah, like any of us are getting that. I'm talking about Blu-ray players and high-definition television in general. Now, if you are going to, or already have, invested some big bucks into a high-definition television, I really think it's important that you understand what you've got and how it works, as well as exactly what high-definition is. And you need to have high-definition before you even start thinking about Blu-ray. Let's take a moment and review high-definition first. Number one, not everything that says HD is high-definition. There are two types of television, and there are three resolutions of television. The two types of television are divided based on the way the picture is displayed, whether it's progressive or interlaced. And essentially what this means is that in a progressive TV, the entire picture is displayed at once, as if you were going to the cinema and seeing a film. On an interlaced television, then half of the picture is displayed, say the even number resolution lines, and then the other half are displayed, the odd numbered resolution lines, and your brain does the work of putting those together. Now, this has been, interlaced television has been broadcast standard since television was invented, and chances are that's the way, that's the television you've got in your home right now. If it's a cathode tube, it's an interlaced picture. Now, for a quick comparison, glance over to your computer monitor, probably an LCD flat-screen monitor. Chances are that that is a progressive picture. And just displaying the two images side by side, you can tell there's not a whole lot of difference at small resolutions. That's where high-definition comes into play. High-definition television technically begins at resolutions above 480 horizontal lines per image, which is what broadcast television and, might I add, DVD is at, 480 horizontal lines per image. High definition bumps that up one notch to 720 horizontal lines in the resolution. And then true high definition is 1080 lines in the high definition picture. Now, just because your television is a high-definition 75-inch plasma screen television with nuclear-powered reaction core and flux capacitor doesn't make everything that comes into your television high-definition. If the source material is not a high-definition source, then the best you're going to get is an up-converted image, which can depend entirely on the software on how well that happens. And in the case of broadcast television, which, yes, you can still receive broadcast television, that you are receiving an analog signal still, and quite likely you're still getting it in interlaced. With most cable boxes and with most satellites, you'll be getting a progressive picture, but chances are, out of those 500 channels that you've got, 450 of them are not in high definition. And of the other 50 that claim to be in high definition, they're really broadcasting in 720. And you've probably got, you know, ESPN in 1080. And when you look at that, it's not 1080p, it's 1080i. You're getting an interlaced feed from that material. This doesn't mean that up conversion on the other channels is not going to do you some good, It'll certainly fill in those gaps and expand those pixels. You'll get a decent image out of it, and the better image you get depends entirely on the quality of the software doing the upconversion. With a good quality television, there's no need to invest in any additional set-top boxes to do that for you. The television will do that for you. Now, some DVD players take a lot of the workload off of the television by being an up-converting progressive DVD player, so that your DVD player will actually up-convert your picture and feed it to your television in a progressive picture. So you can get a 1080p picture out of a 480p DVD. And this is up-converting. It's not true high definition, but it can be pretty doggone close. Now, the way this affects the rest of your television viewing experience, you have probably got a setting on your television to tell it what kind of signal it's getting and what it should do with that signal. Because we've still got a whole bunch of stuff coming in the 4:3 aspect ratio. And most every television you can buy nowadays is a rectangle. It's 16:9. Be aware that if your television is set to expand that image to from 4:3 to 16:9, that you are going to wind up with an image that is slightly off true. It's going to be, you know, slightly longer than it is taller. It's going to be skewed. Now, the downside of that... depending on the way your television fills in that space, whether it's filling pixels or overscanning the way that analog cathode television does, you are also going to lose some image from around the edges. Probably the first thing you noticed when you plugged in your high-definition television is that those little insignias that the stations put in the corner of the screen seem just a little bit farther from the edges than they used to. That's because your analog cathode tube overscans, and you lose a portion of the image into the area of the screen that you cannot see. Progressive LCD plasma images don't do that. But your television can be set to simulate it if you feel that's necessary. Now, if you don't, then what you're going to have is a 4:3 image displayed on a 16:9 screen. You're going to wind up with black bars on the left and right. Now, this doesn't bother me, but I know that it does bother some people. And the additional effect of this is that many of the broadcast stations, and when I say broadcast, that includes the cable and satellite and stuff, most of your broadcast images are still actually being broadcast in 4:3. They're claimed to be, many of the shows are now letterboxed, so they're broadcast in 16:9. But unless you're getting a high-definition feed that is a 720 or a 1080 progressive feed, well, it can be interlaced too, but a 720 or a 1080 feed from the source material from your digital box that has actually been encoded at has actually been encoded to ATSC standards instead of NTSC standards, then you are still getting a 4:3 picture. So what you will get is you'll get a 4:3 picture. You'll wind up with the black bars on the left and right sides that your television has put there, and then you wind up with black bars on the top and bottom that the TV station has put there. And it can be very, very odd. So the choice of evils is yours there, whether you want to reduce your screen capacity by expanding your picture and having it look slightly off true, an effect, I might add, that you get used to with time, or whether you want to just simply diminish your screen and have it display true. But that's something that you need to bear in mind when you're watching television on a high-definition set, on a 16:9 set, and when you are getting your feed either from a cable box, or satellite bar, or whatever, or from a DVD player or video game system that is not plugged into your television with an HDMI feed. The HDMI feed typically, not always, but typically will convert to, you know, convert the image to its proper aspect ratio when it feeds to the television. So that shouldn't be an issue. But of the TV's final consideration is that of size. Your 480 image is always going to be inferior to a 720 image. But at screen sizes of 30 inches and less, then you're really not going to notice a huge difference between the 480 image and the 720 image. So you're essentially receiving no benefit from your high-definition capability, and certainly no benefit from a Blu-ray machine. At screen sizes between 700 or between 30 inches and about 40 inches, this is where you start to see the artifacts and the generic fuzziness that up-converting DVDs results, you know, from an up-converted DVD image. At this point, your best viewing option is going to be still from an up-converted DVD. You're going to get all the benefits of the DVD without the expense of high definition, and in fact, you won't be getting a true high definition picture anyway. 720 is good. There's nothing wrong with it, and at screen sizes between 30 and 40 inches, that's really your best option. Also, something to bear in mind is that the closer you are to your screen, the smaller you want it to be, so that your optimal viewing area with a 30 to a 40 inch screen is about 6 feet away. So it that works best for small living rooms. Now, when you start topping 40, when you get from 40 to 50 inches, you start dealing with plasma TVs and the large scale LCD screens. At this point, this is where DVD quality image really breaks down, especially when compared to Blu-ray and to true high-definition pictures. At this point, the up-converted DVD is still quite an acceptable viewing experience, especially if you've got a really good up-converting DVD player, or if you are using your Blu-ray and it's got good up-converting DVD software. You still get a great image. You still get a great viewing experience out of this. However, this is where the 1080 progressive and Blu-ray high definition really, really starts to shine, because at resolutions between, you know, at screen sizes between 40 and 50 inches, there is enough room on there, and there's enough, you know, there's enough physical landscape available to display all of the video that it is capable of displaying, and high definition really takes advantage of that. And then, of course, when you start talking about projection televisions and the mega plasma screens, 50 inches and larger, you're essentially talking a theater quality product. Blu-ray is really the only way to go, as even the best up converting DVD is not going to look right when viewed at a screen size quite so large. So the bottom line here is, when buying your television, know your viewing area and know your viewing machines. If the purpose of buying the television is to experience high-definition television, get something large, and make sure it's capable of 1080 progressive, 1080 progressive images. If the purpose is simply to keep up with the technology trends, you know, to have a modern machine, then a 720p machine is going to be just fine, and your screen size of 40 inches or lower is going to be just fine, especially if you've got smallish living room. I should add that at 40 inches, you're going to want more than 6 feet between you and the television set, preferably 8 to 10. and that at screen sizes of 50 and larger, you're going to want to be 12 feet or more away from the television. Blu-ray is marvelous. Blu-ray is really set to take advantage of all of the best things that high-definition television can do. But be aware that investing in a Blu-ray machine is really only going to give you the high-definition benefits if you've got the television to match. There are other benefits. The special features on Blu-ray discs tend to be more and more extravagant than we're used to seeing on DVD. Plus, many Blu-ray players can connect to the internet, so you get to participate in the BD Live community. And look for me a little later on if you've got a copy of The Dark Knight on Blu-ray. Look for my interactive commentary on the BD Live community for The Dark Knight and more as they come out. Plus, if you purchase correctly, and I bought an Insignia DVD player from Best Buy. If you buy an Insignia or a Sony or Samsung, there are a few other models. You can hook it up to your either wired computer network or to your wireless network. Most of those require an external adapter. The Insignia that I bought does not require an external adapter. It's got Wi-Fi built in. That hooks up to my Wi-Fi network and allows me to stream Netflix directly to my television. An experience which I was hesitant to indulge in, but after experiencing the Insignia Netflix browser, and after streaming a few movies directly to my television without any trouble whatsoever and in high definition, it's a marvelous thing, and I'm very happy we did it. And finally, since Blu-ray is all set to take advantage of 7.1 surround sound, you're going to get your best experience by purchasing a separate home theater system to use with all that marvelous capability. The downside of that is that so few discs take proper advantage of home theater systems, either 5.1 or 7.1. And what you get is kind of an enhanced stereo, where you get left and right channel, and then all the dialogue and stuff comes through the center channel. And, you know, that's... I wish that more movie studios would take the time to encode their home discs better. But it's... most of the time, you still get a better experience than just turning up the volume on your television. Although, if you've got a... depending on the speakers on your television, may not be quite so big a difference. So the bottom line is, if you're going to go Blu-ray, make sure that you have a television to match. And when you're buying your television, match your screen size to your living room size. Understand that true high definition starts at 1080 progressive, and starts at 1080 screen resolution and 40 inches on up. Otherwise, you're getting a kind of a minimum HD or an enhanced DVD at the 720 below, both of which still look really, really good. So, there you go. Have fun spending that Christmas money and the tax money. I've got a couple of closing remarks, but first I'm going to leave you with this.
Hello, podcast fans. This is Edward G. Talbot, author of the podcast novel New World Orders, available at www.edwardgtalbot.com.
And this is Scott Roche, author of the podcast novels Archangel, Valley of the Shadow, and Archangel, Legion, available at www.archangelnovel.com. And we have an important announcement to make.
We all love our podcast authors. We shower them with love, leaving comments on their websites and reviews on iTunes. But in our lust to make their egos bigger than the gross national product of a third world nation, we're forgetting someone. The characters.
These poor guys have it tough. We cheer for them when things are good, but we also love it when they fall victim to good old-fashioned gratuitous violence. And then what do? When they've been killed off or no longer needed, or they're just taking a break between chapters, I'll tell you what they do. They go to a special place created just for them. A place we like to call the Green Room. Oh, hey, Tony. Haven't seen you in here for a while.
Hey there, Matt. Yeah, well... Ed killed me off, and I've been looking for work.
Sorry to hear about that. Have you checked out the whiteboard yet for more parts?
Yeah, well, jobs are kind of drying up in this economy. Harwood had an opening, but he would have just had me killed in episode 3. What do your prospects look like?
Before I hooked up with Roche, I talked to Chris Lester about an opening in Metamore City, but I'd have to wear a dress. That was a deal-breaker. I'm just glad Roche gave me a chance. Though, I did hear him mention the word subprime on the phone the other day, which is scary. I'm his hero, so I don't think he'll erase me, but I have a feeling things are about to get messy.
Tell me about it. I deal with that stuff all the time. Ed wanted to kill off everyone in the final episode, but I think I talked him out of it. Now he's going to be a lot more focused on justice and less on killing and blowing people up. Hey, you didn't hear it from me, but Hutchins actually contacted me and I turned him down. You never know who you're dealing with in his stuff.
Absolutely. Some of these guys give me the creeps. I think I've got Roche under control, but you never know if he'll be sitting in front of the mic and get a harebrained idea.
Yeah, Ed's okay too. He just needs some adult supervision. Ah! Son of a... One of these days I'm gonna tear this thing off.
Is that your bracelet buzzing you? Hey, congratulations, that means you get a callback.
Buzzing me? Well, like sending 200 volts where the sun don't shine. I heard Sigler came up with this idea, having us all wear these things so they could keep track of us. I'd like to take him and shove it up.
Hey now, keep your voice down. You never know who's listening.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Looks like someone wants me. I guess I gotta go. You take care of yourself.
You too, and God bless. I hope for his sake it's not for that zombie podcast.
So you may have noticed the show is a little bit shorter. I'm going to kind of try and keep them at about the 20-minute mark from now on. Don't forget the ongoing benefit books, Pathfinder and Water is Life. Check those out. The Christian New Media Group is doing Compassion 365 this year, and John Wilkerson is heading that up again. So look for more on that as the days go, as the days roll out. In the meantime, head over to the Critical Press Media website and pick you up a copy of Water is Life. All that money goes to Living Water International. Or pick you up a copy of Pathfinder. Money from that goes towards the Wounded Warrior Project. Look for more publishing opportunities on there. And if you want to support the site, there's a host of downloaded books. Been, you know, throw your, toss your 99-cent vote my way, say, hey, you're doing a good job, and, you know, pick a product to download. Also, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to know what kind of things you're reading, what kind of things you want to read, and what kind of things you like to read, as well as what kind of things you want to read from me. So, let me know there. Fear the Con 3 is coming up in March, March 12th and 13th. I'm really stoked. I'm really excited. I'm looking at running a another demo segment for Atomic Earth the board game. And if you're going to be at Fear the Con 3, look for Savage Worlds Atomic Earth in one of the settings. And plus, you know, they're bashing one of my favorite games. I'm going to have to run a Rifts game this year. It's going to happen. So there you go. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I'm stoked. I'm letting my mouth run away with me. I'm really going to quit before we hit the 25-minute mark. I promise. So, welcome to 2010, and keep those reaction chambers fired.
Email at mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.